And it's about the next life. You're going to live forever. I couldn't underscore it enough. Now, when I listen to all those televangelists, it's as though, watch, this, and this is major for both the Bible and me, that the thinking and the messaging seems to be about God resolving our problems in the earth rather than we are sent here to resolve something God has as a problem from heaven. And it's huge to get the difference. It's huge, it's very huge, actually. Because if you go to the book of Revelations, which, you know, just recently I just was reading through it, still you have to admit there are things there that in the economy of God, and I've even listened to some theologians teach on Revelations, and it's still basically the traditional things that have been said about it. And the traditional things, I mean, I'm talking about in the commentaries that you would read, and some of you have them. I could name some of the traditional ones that I know many of you who are interested in studying the Bible have a copy of. But it still breaks down, all of this Christianity breaks down to the reality of God in our lives for the sake of what he brought us here for. Now, you don't know that. Well, then you're on a journey of discovery. And God wants to tell us all what he made us for. He doesn't want us to just exist and then to create our own goals and then get God to help us fulfill the goals we thought we've always wanted for ourselves. Now, I would have to admit, in much of the teaching and much of Christianity, that's exactly what you hear. It's as though God exists for us. The opposite of we exist for God. So, Lord, what is the reason you not only brought me into this world, but let's just say you're like I am, and maybe some of the others who are on the line. You're a senior. What are you keeping us for? Not only what you brought us here for, what are you keeping us here for? Now, I almost offered you the copy of the 11-page outline I did. On God's dealings with the devil and evil. And I was really talking about this fact that God doesn't tolerate disagreement with him. Now, I'm not saying that he kills you right away, but I'm saying you're on your way to being messed up if you're in disagreement with God. Look, you and I, those of us born again, are called to agree with God. Now, I'm looking at Luke chapter 10 right now, after sending out the 70 here in Luke 10. And he sent out the 12 in Luke 9. But here's a point in 10:18. Well, 10:17. When did his 72 disciples return, they joyfully reported to him, "Lord, even demons obey us when we use your name." Watch. "Yes," he told them, reading out the New Living Translation, "I saw Satan fall from heaven like men." And basically, that's what should be the case with all of us who are believers. Satan should be being pushed around right now by us. We are born again, believers, from the Father. We've come from the DNA of the Father. And we tread on serpents and scorpions. And we make a show of them openly because there's still work in that world to deal with. I mean, anything that you and I have in this natural world, there's still evil forces behind evil that if our Christianity isn't legitimate, if it's just a letter, or if it's just this is just a book to read, then the devil is getting away with stuff he should be restricted from. Now, we're not going to annihilate it because God already decreed his determined place. But we can certainly make a show of him openly. Now, he'll fight back, of course. He's an eternal being, but he can't really beat us. Now, God's involved in with us. And one of the ways he gets involved with us is what we have by the definition on this prayer line. It's a prayer line. So prayer is about the invisible. See? It's about the eternal. In other words, there are things naturally going on in your and my lives, either as a result of our call, and we are messing with the devil's kingdom and he's fighting back, or you don't know your call and you're just dealing with the issues of life day in and day out from one to the other. I heard one person say, a televangelist, he put something in the category of it's just life. And in actual fact, if you're talking about that naturally, there's nothing that's just life. Why? Because the devil is an eternal being, and he is behind all evil. Ephesians talks about the children of disobedience. So the devil also has children. And you and I are able to pray and restrict, bind, cast him out, both in nations, in circumstances, in families, in your own life. And then sometimes, you know, the damage that's done, God doesn't perform a miracle to restore the destruction that was caused by evil and the devil. And you have to fight through it, or you have it in you to fight, look, and to win. You are, by nature, by the fact that you are born again, by the point that God says men are always to pray. God didn't give you a looser assignment when he said for you to pray. Thou shalt decree a thing. No, your word is the predominant word that's going to bring to pass what God has ordained. That's why he said you can decree a thing. See, all of this is out of a vital connection with God, though. It's not just living, existing. It's about your and my being brought into the world and discovering our assignment. Listen, let's say you don't know it. Then here we have the Bible. We live out of the principles of the Bible. Now, this scripture I read in Luke 10:18, I saw Satan fall. This was first of all, I want to say this. That's, the Lord has seen him fall a lot. I'm talking about Satan. Because why? Kicked him out of heaven. Kicked him right out of heaven. And then both in Revelation and also what we see in Genesis, he comes down to the earth. And, you know, and man need to be alert. Adam wasn't, and I've gone through that. But what I did on that outline was to show that issues of victory is not tolerating God. is accepting the creative purpose that God has for your life everywhere. Now, we're going through a lot in terms of, I was excited to hear that the daughter earlier said that 2020 was a good year. And that's a good point, because even with all the things that happened related to this new world order, meaning how people conducted their lives, the priorities they took, in almost in every category, in education, in the church realm, in the business world, and all the what we call the seven mountains, they all restructured, ordered things, did things differently, and we became a part of that. What we were not allowed to become a part of was fatalistic, meaning God is always victorious. Now, whether we participated in that, that's another issue or not. But we're called to be victorious. The Bible says clearly we triumph in Him. We are not allowed to let the devil beat us, even though he tries to take advantage of us. And even if we lose a battle, we're not going to lose the war. And there are reasons, you know, for losing. But I'll say to you that even if you don't have the revelation of the exact purpose that God has for your life, you're on a journey of seeking that. And God said, I'll reward them that diligently seek me. Secondly, again, I want to underscore, you have the principles of the Bible, which you activate and live by those, which he says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word endures forever. So you're in that realm where when you live according to the Bible, you're going to get to heaven. And let's say you never found out specifically what God wanted out of your life. I would say there are droves of people who have lived and died like that. God will look at them, and by the principle of, I've said it to you before, what is called imputation, meaning he looked at your faithfulness with what you knew to see if you were faithful in that, and he could determine faithful with little, faithful with much. Let me say it another way. Faithful in the temporal, faithful in the eternal. See? Because you could have been the kind of person that lived according to fixed values. Things that don't change because you are in the heavens. Like, for example, humility is humility in this world and the next. Meekness is meekness. Love is love. Now, they're all demonstrated in different ways, and they're all challenged to us in our lifetimes for effectiveness. I mean, the challenge, because, again, there is a devil, and then there's also your development. You and I grow not only by precepts, but by practice, the circumstances of life. You got that. See? So here, those disciples set an example for us to look at. The Lord God did not tolerate the devil in his presence, all trying to raise up. God threw him down. And this is exactly what we just read in Luke 10:18. Jesus says, I didn't tolerate the devil. Guess what? I really love the fact you didn't tolerate the devil either. So yeah, he says some other things about it. See? But in the point again in verse 20, he says, but don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. That's the Living Translation. Now, that registration, now, the destination of what he wants to do for you in the next life, he hasn't given us that. He says the Father is the one that's going to divvy out the rewards and placement. Placement might be something you're not familiar with, you see. The registration of your name is a birthright. But where you're placed, the order of your birth, is superseded by the behavior of in your life. Like, you could be born as the firstborn, and you should be the example in the family. But the third born in the family's behavior was way better than yours, even though you were to be the leader of the household and the example for the sons and daughters of your parents' household. See, so the birth order God determines, right? The birth placement, you're going to determine that by the way you live. Now, the Lord knows the standards. He's given that to us in the Bible. He knows the standards. Did you get that? Okay, I want to say it again another way. You see, you and I are not just living in this world to fight the things that are going on in your life or to think that that's what life is all about. God has never changed his mind about the plans he made for mankind. And that is part of that 11-page outline. And what I said to you is, in portions of it, was it in man's disagreement with God, God found one man that he could tolerate, and it was Noah and his family, called him righteous. And and really almost, you could say he started over, but he didn't start over because Noah was still of the Adamic progeny. That's where he came from. He's still of that seed. But God could unveil something to him, of course, that he has never experienced before. Now watch, though. Now, a point is made. Certainly, he'd never seen a flood. He never saw a boat before. I mean, the things that God told Noah to do, to build, to expect, those were all new things, okay? But so is every day in your life. There may be things that you heard about in your life, but you haven't experienced everything. In other words, your commitment to God is before your experiences from God. Because God, again, is in control of the earth. He allows you and me to meet people. He allows us to have issues that we deal with. I mean, he could take away all your problems, and that's probably what most of you are like. Just take away the problems and be underdeveloped as a problem solver. See? You could just try to get God to bring revival. Have you noticed that every revival that we ever had, we all talk about it as a historical landmark, not as a present reality. Why? Because revivals, moves of God, are evolved into the life of God. Now, our generation wants so much. I mean, the hungry people, we want revival. God says, wait a minute, I want a life lived. See, we like the catalytic. I mean, this big thing happening, these big meetings, big churches, big companies, big everything. And God says, you can have the big meetings, big companies, big everything, but I'm going to watch how you live your life in that, through that, about that. I'm going to watch it because why? It's not just the revival that I'm after. It's the life you're living. So I'm still on point, people. I started this out by saying I looked at the televangelists and I looked at them. And I would say that lots of them are preaching the word. I mean, look, man, yes, you should have a great marriage. Yes, you should believe in for miracles. Yes, you should repent of your sins and get born again. But the point of this life is to transform you for the next life. You're going to actually be in charge of the creation itself because you're of the Creator. So you have creation in you. Angels don't know this joy your salvation brings. See? Are they not ministering spirits sent for them who are heirs of salvation? Now, again, I want to say, this is not heavy duty. this is like basic stuff. And sometimes, though, in the process of the circumstances of life, we get distracted. Not in being saved, but distracted in the fact that God is in control of all that comes to you. Now, I'm not saying he brought it all to you, because sometimes your nonsense brought a lot of that stuff going on with you. But God still, he can stop you from being nonsensical and just make you like totally on point in everything you do, in thought, word, and deed. Hasn't happened yet. See? Enoch, yep. Mm-hmm. Jesus, yep. Mm-hmm. Now Elijah was translated, yep. I mean, that's some powerful stuff right there. But we're called by the destination of God, by the integrity of God, by the reality of the Holy Ghost, to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. We're being made into a forever awesome person upon your reasonable service. Let him grow you. See? And actually, it's not just a classroom. It's life. It's not real life, though. What do you mean by that? Because everything you're going through in this world is temporary. But what you're becoming in God is permanent. That's the real life. See, real life is what you would do that is the behavior of God, no matter what the circumstance. That's the real life. See, in other words, real life isn't, I looked at it this morning. I took a glance at my Kingmaker. This is a Kingmaker prayer line, one of my Kingmakers. I thought to ask Miss Ellenwood to just combine Your Wife Is Not Your Mama and Women Are Kingmakers in one volume. And just, you know, like Watchman Nee did that with Spiritual Man. He just put numbers of volumes together and had them. I think I should do that so that both the men and the women can see what's in here. Because there is some amazing stuff in this Kingmaker book. Because in some cases, I brought out the points like I'm not doing with you right now, giving you five things and then explaining those five things. I'm giving you a lot of things. That's all in here. And but this book is still amazing. And I was thinking about it may have been still, it was on time in terms of the economy of God, but ahead of time in terms of the growth level of the body of Christ. And I look at it now. It needs the Kingmaker idea right now. It needs that revelation. See? Because why? The culture is inundated with self-exaltation, not king-making. Because one is what you do for others. The other is what's happening with you. The focus of Jesus Christ was what he did for his Father and what he did for others. The Father rewarded him for being focused on the Father's will and us. So he set an example for us as the author and finisher of our faith. But when I hear the messaging and when I hear the preaching, it seems to still all be about what we're going through. See, I hope you hear me. See, am I saying you're not going through anything? No, I just finished reading to you out of Luke 11. See, and the Lord Jesus said, don't marvel that you can beat the devil. Well, I find a lot of Christians aren't really beating the devil. They don't even blame the devil. They blame each other. I mean, the cancel culture, that is about canceling you out, not canceling the devil out. The Bible is about canceling the devil out, not canceling people out. Yeah, I paused on that for a second with you. All this stuff about not listening to what people say. What they say don't matter anyway if it's not authored by God. But what they say, even if they're nonsense, should be listened to, so at least you know clearly what the devil is people and his people are saying, and you can pray against it. and then raise up disciples to be the solution people to all of that nonsense. And that's kind of, again, where I am. I almost found none of the teaching on the televangelist side was preaching about raising disciples. And I tell you, I still have that in me right now, really strong. And if he tarries, I'm going to raise up a lot more. It may be in a different vehicle, in the sense that establishing schools and discipleship intensives and different types of things that I might do. But disciples is what Jesus said to make. And if a church says, I don't have a lot of members, they should say, I got 100% disciples. See, you don't need to have, I mean, what do you got? You got, let's say you got 1,000 members and you don't have 10 disciples. And I've discovered that. See, Jesus said, make disciples. We have brought members in and we do everything we can to try to keep them in. And if we get to the discipleship talk, because the root word is discipline, we may not be able to keep them. And we want to keep them because there's a lot involved with those people staying in that church and coming to church and all the other things that go along with that. There's a lot involved in it. We don't want to lose them. But what about you don't really have them if you can't give them the word and tell them to be Christ-like? If you didn't raise them up to be as devoted as you are, unless you're not. So we don't just lead by precepts. We lead by practice. That's, I was in this church, and I've been doing it. I've done it two numbers of you a number of times. I asked, is God going to put you over a whole planet? That's life. And my answer is, he's already done that. Right? And what do you mean? Adam was over the whole planet. And his wife. And then his children. Right? So what the planet, meaning the earth, has grown into is what Adam was. The generational transfer. What a planet would become is what Adam allowed to happen. Started out with one sin, but look at this. It's still his nonsense. So what I do with that, though, is I go to you and your family. See? And I've done a series of messaging, which you can get if you get it. And it says every family is a world. Why? Because family became the earth. Well, God can tell what world yours would be by how you're doing your family. Now, some of you ought to say, oh, man, I didn't see it that way. I got it now. Man, I didn't know Bishop was talking about that. Exactly. That's why he says to the husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. What he's talking about, he's saying that's the way you love forever. See? He says to the wife, submit to your husband as unto the Lord. Why? Because that's the way your planet would function. The way you submit to a man, or to your husband, daughter, should be the way a planet and the inhabitants of that planet should do it. The way you lead your wife, dude, hey, man of God, is the way God can use you to lead the planet. So you have the union of the marriage bed and God allows conception. That's your planet. But guess what? That planet is in your house. So I'm saying, okay, so you stay mad at your wife, you don't like her, you're fussing all the time. That's the spirit that's in your planet. Spirit of unforgiveness and the spirit of criticizing. Not critical thinking, criticizing. You say you're mad and you're fussing. And you, daughter, pouting and rejecting him. I mean, I cover that, but now I'm just talking about the purpose of it. That's your planet. That's what it would look like. See? just pausing for a minute. Father, I want you to just drill this down inside of them, because I've told them the truth right here, right now. I said to them that their lives are about why you made Adam originally, and that the principles of Scripture are how you run things eternally, and that we were brought into this world because you believed in us. You knew we would accept Jesus as Savior and Lord, and that we would grow into his likeness. Now, Lord, I want to certify every person, not just with a college. Oh, Lord, I bless those students who have graduated from college and high school and the different schools, universities, theological seminaries, all. Bless all of them, Father. But Lord, we want you to certify us in our growth level so that we can occupy the place you have for us, not only in going to heaven, but in being your sons and daughters to rule over the creation. Certainly, sometimes, Lord, we act like we're far from understanding it and way away from acting it. But thank you, you're the judge of all. Glory to God. That you choose where we are in our growth level. You determine what we'll be able to do in the next world. Lord, help us now even stronger to be like you in this world, so that when you bring us into the next world, we walk right into that with a behavior that matches the world you bring us into. Thoughts, words, and deeds. God, help us to live this life out. Not just endure circumstances, but live your life out in a way that you're bragging about us in heaven. We're standing for you here, Lord. You're standing for us there. Jesus, thank you so much. So that angels know our name in the heavenlies, because people know your name in the earth. We are ambassadors from heaven here on the earth, Lord. You're the Son of Man, representing us in the heavens. Thank you for your intercessory prayer ministry. We admit to you, Lord, we fall short of the glory. But you didn't leave it all up to us. You sent the Holy Ghost here. He's helping us. We don't always pay attention to him. We try our best not to offend him. We would never want to blaspheme and blame him for something the devil did. Oh, my God. Thank you for trusting us with this life. Thank you for letting us go on increasing, that we're not just experiencing long life for the sake of the longevity, but long life for the sake of transformation and impact. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Bless your holy name. Now, I hope you guys got some of that I'm talking about here now, as I, you know, just for a minute, you know, just again, kind of what they do with the ship and the rudder, kind of bring that thing back into some kind of order in terms of where that ship is going. We are going into Christ's likeness, and we're being renewed day by day. Why? Because some of the old stuff tries to hold on. You can see it in life's experiences. See? Well, the word looms large right here. You know, I again, I hope you would put yourself in the discipleship category of Luke 10 and Luke 9 and not just be a member. You are a leader and you are leadership. And I actually believe that God made us to run things in the forever world. And here it is. Now, I was at a school recently. Well, not that recent, but I was looking over some of their questions. You know, I kept it. I almost need to send it back, some of these questions back to the school, but, you know, I didn't let them put their names on them, so I don't know. These are things that they weren't resolving. So they asked me for some input and insight into some of the challenges they're facing. They weren't asking it just from, well, it may have been just from my experience or from, because some of the issues were about race. Some of them were about dealing with situations in their lives on a collective level. Because it was a school. But they weren't certain about how to deal with it. Or they attempted and failed. I mean, look, there's things I could point out to you. You know, like in John 17, why would Jesus have to tell his disciples about how to unify like the Godhead? As a parting message. When all along he was talking to those guys, I mean, about this stuff. Remember, in Luke 22 over there is where they were dealing with who is going to be the greatest. You guys better get it together. You guys better stop that one-upsman stuff. I'm pretty certain you're in environments where that happens. I mean, it happens from a basic level in marriage. It happens with the kids. He's treated better than I am. You know, you love him more than you love me. See, that all that one-upsman stuff. So, nothing like that in heaven. So he wouldn't fix it and let the person want to be one-ups. Even if it's your brother or your sister, let him be one-up. But you make sure you go up and grow up in the things of God. Don't focus on your earthly positioning, because this stuff is temporary. Focus on what God is making you into through the circumstances of life. You get a chance to prove, are you the real thing in the circumstances of life. In the classroom, you might do straight A's. But in life, you might have a real hard time passing. And this is what we're finding about our generation. See? Now, let me just finish this up by talking about scoring points. I'm down here now in an apartment complex in Miami, Florida. And I don't think I really paid attention to the point of a city that doesn't sleep. But Michael and my daughter and another gentleman stayed downtown while they were down here helping me move in. And they would return back to their downtown apartment at 2 o'clock in the morning. They said it was just like it was broad daylight. There was so much noise and so many people. It was amazing. You know, that's pretty much true in Las Vegas also. But they're mostly inside. If they're outside, they're going to the Galleria Casino. I mean, look, the idea of the thing is not to let any natural light in and to keep the place lit up. Those casinos all the time. In other words, people, they are gambling. But down in Miami, they're not just gambling. They're and they call this in the casino, they call it gaming. But down here, it's a different kind of game. But right beneath the surface of all of that is an amazing need for the reality of the Lord to show up on the tablets of their hearts. Do you know this is true everywhere where each of you are right now? And wherever you are, you're there because you can make a difference. See? And really, it's just not just asking if you can, it's been ordained. Now, just start paying attention. And stay godly. See, I wrote this down, but it's a scripture. I really write scriptures down very much. Some people who were like that when they were in school, they wrote things down a lot. They wrote down the notes. I just underline, yellow mark it, go back to it, refer back to it. But this scripture in Proverbs 14:34 says, godliness makes a nation great. See? Godliness where? Godliness, you think there can be godliness atmospherically? Godliness, no. It's about people. See? Godliness makes a nation great. That's the godliness in you. The greatness of this nation has to do with how godly you're becoming. See that? Hear that? See, because when generally that's talked about, you see, godliness makes a nation great. That's they're thinking about just the kind of, is the city godly? Or the government? Is the government godly? But that's all people. See? So the godliness in you, though, let's get personal with it, is the greatness of this nation. If you don't let God make you godly, see, godliness is the outworking of holiness. See, the Bible says you are holy. But godliness is holiness lived out. Are you hearing it? Then God sees you as holy. See? So when you live out holiness by being godly, that's the greatness of the nation. Now, that's what this nation seems to be. It's forgotten. And they got to be guys like myself screaming it. So you'll see in a minute. God, if he tarries, I'm going to go back on all those social media things I can get on in a minute. That's almost like, okay, I've been like, in a supernatural rest for about 6 months, it looks like to me. Can't believe it's fifth month. End of it. So now probably next month I'm going to start back hitting it everywhere I can hit it. In person and in social media, television, everywhere. I'm going to hit it. And I'm going to do schools and certify people in something. I got to have more disciples. I really discovered that. So, okay, godliness makes a nation great. But sin is a disgrace to any people. What's he talking about? Not just the cultural sin of this country, all the stuff that's going on in manipulation and all. Sin is a disgrace in you. Why? He who knew no sin was made sin for you, that you might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. You know, I don't very much think about people who see themselves as having sin as disgraceful. And it is. It is. Lying, manipulating. I got to call a couple people up. One of them is about people keeping their word. And one of the people that I got to talk to said, you know, they really didn't like Christianity because it just didn't trust Christians. Because why? They lie. Well, that doesn't have anything to do with you. You be the example for them. You know, you are the greatness of what they should become. You don't separate yourself from them because they sin. Now, okay, I'm going to give you this. I'm going to finish it up. But sin is a disgrace to any people. So it's disgraceful when you sin. Okay? There you go. Not politics is a disgrace, or, you know, or these all these great billionaire men are disgraced because they divorced their wife. Sin is a disgrace, period. Disgrace for any people. And the great shame of America is the sin that Americans do. That's the disgrace. But where is the sin primarily viewed? It's in the heavens. Because why? God is the one that's offended. Some of the nonsense that people do, they don't even realize God hates that. They're so used to it. They can be raising families. Like, you know, I know these people, like, going to the man cave things. I talk about that. I'm thinking about Calvin. Last time I probably preached about it in a church was over there in Richmond. I talk about the man cave. They don't even hardly do man caves. I don't think anybody in that church does man caves. But I still talked about it there so that hopefully nobody else ever will do it. Because why? They do stuff in there. Cigars, cigarettes, drinking. So in other words, there's a way to live life that the way what you say no to brings a conviction on people who just compromise standards. So you can drink wine and all that stuff if you want to. Smoke cigarettes, do all that stuff if you want. If you want to live somewhere around the lines and not live a godly life all the way in, I mean, that means restricting yourself with stuff. See, it takes God to do it, though. You got to be all in for God. But when I think about me being the age I am now and looking back at it, I think that went pretty fast. I remember when I was 50, I was thinking, this is going fast. Now I really think it's going fast. But what do I have? I have a history. What is God going to do with that history? He's going to either reward me for it or he's going to condemn me for it. Now, the salvation is in Christ. So the issue is whether it's placement, what are the rewards he's going to give me? And that's the issue with many of you there. Can't you finish better? Can't you be the godly that's making a difference? Can't you take a chance to step out? I wrote something down here. I'm going to shut it down here in a second. And I said, go in the middle of a crowd of people and scream out your message. And the ones that hear you there becomes your people. Basically, it's what you have with televangelists. You know, in other words, you know, you go out there and there's a crowd of people looking at it. Isaiah Salomon, one of my sons, says, people looking at television, though, are 70 and older. Social media people are 40. Probably, you know, on up or, you know, 30, I think she said 20 to 40. Whatever. I don't know the statistical data on all that, but I do know the data of the standards that God wants us to keep. And whatever influence we have is his influence, effect we're having. His effectiveness. To God be the glory. I speak the blessings of the Lord continually over you now, and may God use you in a way that still brings you in an amazement. Just like the early disciples were amazed at their own effectiveness, even having been sent by the most effective of God's creation, the Creator himself. And he told them to marvel not that devils were subject to them, but that your name is written and registered in heaven. If you're born again, you have that registration. Now go out and have a great effect. To God be the glory. I cancel every assignment of the devil against you. May you win by a birthright. And may you know that the noise of the devil is not the sound of victory. That the Holy Spirit is on the job. Call on Him as your helper. Angels have never failed God since the devil and his hosts were thrown out. They're there to succeed for us. To God be the glory. The best week ever. You never faced it. Why settle for like it was last week or last year? When His mercies are new every morning. The best week ever. Okay? You never faced it. What? You want it to be the most mediocre week ever? The most challenging week ever? Okay? Nope. The best week ever. You have the victory. God bless. Be encouraged, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's my prayer for you. Bye-bye.
Bye, my bishop. I like it, bishop. Best week ever. It's one of my sayings, I like to say it. Best ever. But you did your own recap this morning. So let me just say, ladies, our review, because that's exactly what I wrote down, actually, what you said. But, ladies, just review Luke 10, 17 through 20. Bishop was reiterating, you know, that we are the problem solvers, no question about it, and that God created us for His purposes and not vice versa. I know, Bishop, you're right. Sometimes we do think God is here for us to fix everything in our life, but we're here to fix things in other people's lives. So we got to get that down in our spirit and be thankful and grateful that our name is registered. So we're grateful for that, Bishop, and we're grateful for you. And so, Kingmakers, on that note, like Bishop said, have the best week ever.
Ever.
And we have some great testimonies, Bishop, next week. Great testimonies.
Awesome.
Amen. All right, you guys, we love you. We'll see you next week. God bless.